6. Last time we had the opportunity to talk on this chapter, we only did about half of it because it's such a long chapter. So we're going to try to finish it up this afternoon. We talk about John chapter 6. And just a little refresher, what brought us up to this point is Jesus has fed a multitude of people with just a few fishes and a couple loaves of bread, and people are following him in droves. There's large groups that are following after him, but he also has a group of what is called his disciples, and it's bigger than just the apostles. We don't exactly know how many is in this group. They seem to be the ones that, being disciples, means that they would be learners of Christ, people that he would be teaching his words and the things that he came to teach. And, of course, there was the multitudes that followed him because of his healing and the ability to heal people. And, of course, they looked for Jesus so that anybody that had an infirmity, they could bring to him and they could be healed. And regardless of what it was, Jesus was able to heal them. And these miracles just went like wildfire as far as communication went. People began to talk about him, and Jesus couldn't get anywhere, hardly a moment's peace, because of the throngs of people that were about him looking for these miracles to be performed. Perhaps some wanted to see them. Perhaps others wanted them to actually be performed on themselves or someone that they loved, a friend or someone of this nature. But Jesus has fed these multitudes, and he has crossed the Sea of Galilee again and gone into Capernaum, and there the multitudes have followed again. And Jesus is now beginning to teach unto them the bread that comes from heaven. They were just fed, like we said, with a few fishes and loaves of bread. And this is one of the reasons they follow Jesus. They perhaps are thinking that Jesus is going to feed them in the same way that God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness by giving them manna. And so some of the multitudes simply following him, thinking that, well, if we continue to follow this guy, he's going to continue to feed us. And that would seem to be the idea of some of them. But as we said, there were those following him for his teachings. There were those following him because they wanted to see the miracles, or he had performed a miracle on them. And then, of course, there were those that were directly with him in his group of 12, the apostles. In verse 34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now, Jesus has just told them that the bread that Moses gave them was not from heaven. Now, what he's talking about here is that the bread that Moses gave you was for your physical life. Now, what Jesus is doing is he is trying to teach this multitudes and these people about the spiritual side of life. He's having what you might call a spiritual awakening, because these people have not looked on the inner man. And Jesus is now trying to show to them how important the inner man is, because the inner man never dies. And he's trying to show unto them how that the inner man needs nourishment and needs to grow as well. So he is comparing what happened in the wilderness with Moses and giving of the manna with what he is bringing to man. And they're having a difficult time with that, as we're going to find out. In verse 33, as he said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So the bread that's from heaven is Jesus himself. The bread that Moses gave was manna to sustain the physical body. Jesus' bread is not for the physical body. It is for the spiritual inner man. In verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Well, obviously, Jesus is not talking about the physical body. Because a person can become a Christian, and they're still going to get hungry. They're still going to get thirsty. They're still going to wonder where the sustenance is going to come from that's going to supply their physical life. So he's not talking physically here. He's talking spiritually. He says that he is the one, that he has this bread of life, and when he gives it to you, you're not going to hunger and you're not going to thirst. Well, how can that be possible? Well, it's possible in the spirit, because this bread that Jesus is giving is none other than himself. And he is none other than the Word of God. And this Word of God fills the soul of man. It's the only thing that can. People sometimes talk about how they need to go off into a sanctuary or they need to go commune in the woods or something. They need to find themselves. And people talk about this after school sometimes. They need to go on a trip through Europe. They need to discover who they really are. Well, man can't discover who he really is without God, since God created him. And man can't really fill his soul with anything that this earth has to offer. And that's what Jesus is going to teach to these people. In verse 36, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." Jesus is trying to tell them who he is. He is indeed the only begotten Son of God. He is this bread of life. He is the vessel by which the Word of God came to man, direct. And yet he says, "You don't believe me. Even though all these miracles I've done, and even though everything that you've seen of me and the things you've heard of me, you still are not believing who I am." Verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So Jesus is now going to be talking about some things that these people are having a great amount of difficulty understanding. We look back at this and we think, well, we can understand it. It's clear enough. But we have the whole New Testament to read and to study. This is the first time these people have heard this kind of thing. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is telling them, "You're not going to hate your enemies, you're going to love your enemies." It's the first time they're hearing things like this. And so now, here Jesus is telling them that he came down from heaven. And the Father gave him, or the Father will give, those people that come unto him. Well, how do we come to Jesus? By the message that Jesus brought. He is that message. And that message is that he's the only begotten Son of God to die for the sins of the world. So that's how we come to God. That's how we come to Christ. And Jesus says that he came down from heaven not to do his own will. And remember, he even prayed this in the garden. He said, "Not my will be done, but thine." He didn't come down here to do his will. He came down here to do the will of the Father. What was the will of the Father? To give man the message of reconciliation. To give man this message that they can be saved and they can be at one with God again. And by so doing, he says, as he says in verse 39, that those that he has given unto me, that I wouldn't lose any of them, but I'd raise them at the last day. Well, this last day is obviously the day of resurrection. Throughout the New Testament now, this is going to be a theme. The apostles speak of it. Jesus speaks of it greatly. And it's the resurrection. Paul says that's what he stood in judgment of, was because he believed that man would be resurrected one day. Jesus is telling them that those people that come into him will never be lost. They will never be in a place in which he doesn't know. They'll never be away from him. Now, there are people, as we know, that can come to Jesus and can leave him, as Brother Dan prayed. We pray for those people because we know that their souls are in danger because they're not staying where they need to be. Jesus says that he doesn't want to lose any of them, that they should be to him, and he would raise them at the last day. The will of him that sent me, and who sent him again in verse 40? God. And everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him could have this everlasting life. Now this is a subject, everlasting life. Again, if you had food that you could eat and never hunger again, and you had water you could drink and you'd never thirst again, such as he told the woman at the well, would you not want it? Well, of course you would, but it's not going to be physical. Jesus is again talking to these people about something that's spiritual. And again he says, "I will raise him up at the last day." In other words, he's never going to forget you. Death is not going to separate us from Jesus. It's not going to separate us from these things that he's teaching, and that when we come to him, we come to God through him. In verse 41, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?'" Well, now they're asking the question because Jesus has said, "I came from heaven." And they're like, "Well, how did he do that? We know he came from this little town over here known as Nazareth. and he's the son of Mary and of Joseph, so how in the world can he say he came from heaven? Well, he did come from heaven, and we know that. These people didn't have the insight into it, as we do in looking back at the scriptures, but Jesus was born of a virgin. He was born here in this earth, but he was with the Father before the world ever began, the Bible tells us. There was nothing created that was not made by him and for him, the Bible tells us. He's been with God since way back, way before this world. And so, as we see here in these scriptures, he says, I came down from heaven. And that's where he's going to go back. And that's what he's going to tell them in a little while as well. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Now he hears these disciples of his that he's teaching begin to murmuring. They're asking the question, how can this man say he came down from heaven? We know where he's from. He's from the city or the village of Nazareth. Verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So now Jesus is telling them, first of all, you can't come to the Father unless the Father draws you. Well, how does the Father draw us? Again, it's by his word. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of the Father. He's later going to tell them in the 12th chapter in John that it's not his words he came to speak, but the words of the Father as he was given, so he speaks. So this wonderful word, this message that Jesus being the word himself is given unto these people, he says that's what's going to draw you. And again, he mentions here, I will raise him up in the last day. So once again, Jesus refers to that time of resurrection at the end in which he will call forth all that are in the grave, as we have already heard him say. And they will come forth, those that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil, to the resurrection of damnation. The prophet said that they shall be all taught of God, every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, Jesus says, comes unto me. But he's already told these people, you're not believing who I am. But the Father has sent me. And you've got to believe who I am. And the message that I'm giving you is from God. In order for you to draw near God, you're going to have to believe in me. Now that's what his message he's trying to get across to the people. No man has seen God at any time, he says. No man of this earth. Save the one which is of God, he has seen the Father. Now he's speaking of himself. And he was with God before the world began, as we said. He's with God from the very beginning. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And he brings up this subject, everlasting life, once again. If you believe on me, I'm going to give you this bread that you'll never hunger. I'm going to give you this water you're never going to thirst. And you're going to have eternal life by it. It's going to sustain you for eternity. Beginning in verse 48, Jesus says, I am that bread of life. It gets no plainer than that. What I'm giving you is myself. This plan that God devised of me coming to this earth and dying for the sins of the world so that you could be saved and have everlasting life, it all happens because God loved you so much and sent me to die for you. And I love you, and I came here to die for you. This whole thing transpires, Jesus is saying through him. So he says, I am that bread of life. You can't separate Jesus from the Word. As John wrote in the very beginning of this gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You can't separate Jesus from the Word. He is the Word, because he is not only the deliverer of the message, but he is the message itself. Verse 49, your fathers ate manna, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. So now he's going to point out a contrast. You think that that manna back there was so great, and indeed it was. They could go out and collect it off the ground. It sustained their life. But Jesus says those that ate that died. They're not with us no more. It sustained their physical life for a time, but then they went on later to pass on. Now notice what he says. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Well, now, this is something new to them. How are we going to eat a bread and we're never going to die? But once again, Jesus is speaking in a spiritual term. To death, death means a separation. So as a Christian, we're never separated from God and Christ. Even death itself that separates the soul from the body will not separate you from your Almighty God. And Jesus is teaching that very thing here. That this bread that came down from heaven, again, he said he was from heaven, and he is the bread of life. He came down from heaven, and you eat of it, you'll not die. In verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. All right, so Jesus says, what I'm giving is a sacrifice. I'm going to die for the sins of the whole world. I'm going to give my life for you. And if you eat of this bread, that is, if you will partake of these words that I'm given unto you, if you will believe in who he is, if you will believe this word, this message that's being given unto you, then you're going to have the ability to live forever. Verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So once again, they're looking on the fleshly side. They're thinking, how can this guy give us his flesh to eat? But Jesus is not talking about the flesh of his body. He's not talking about eating his physical body, nor drinking his literal blood, as we're going to find out here in a minute. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So now these people are getting really perplexed. Because here's this man telling them, you've got to eat of my body, you've got to drink my blood. In it you have eternal life. Well, how can we possibly do that? They're asking the question. Now, some have, I think, erroneously thought that Jesus is speaking of the communion. I don't think Jesus is speaking of communion here because he hasn't instituted the communion yet. That would be foreign to these people. They wouldn't know what Jesus is talking about. This is one of those teachings that some have subscribed to, that the bread and the juice in the cup literally become the body and the blood of Jesus Christ during communion. And I don't believe the scriptures though teach us that at all. Not in that way. And there are people who believe that they call it transliterate, that it actually becomes that very thing to fulfill this scripture. Well, I don't think this scripture is talking about communion. Communion hasn't been instituted yet. It would be foreign to these people. They wouldn't understand what Jesus is talking about. And that's not the subject anyways. The subject that's being talked about is something given to us that will cause us to live eternally. And that is the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The word that he gives because he is that word, because he is that bread. And none of that can be separated. You can't take one piece away from another piece. It's all of one. First, he was in heaven. He is the Son of God. He is in heaven. He comes to earth. He brings a message. He brings the word of God. That word is the bread of life. And if you eat of that word, drink of that message, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst, and you'll have eternal life. Now, you can't separate any of that. It's a package deal. Jesus is trying to get these people's minds off of the fact that he fed the multitudes and that they're thinking of manna in the wilderness to thinking about spiritual matters, and that for them, they're going to have to participate and believe in him with him. Now, that's how he's bringing it to them. And so he tells them in this fashion. And, of course, this perplexes many. As a matter of fact, verse 59 says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So now Jesus is in Capernaum. He's teaching in the synagogue. His disciples are all around him, not apostles now. The apostles are there too. We're going to find out in just a minute about them. But here are these disciples, people that have been following Jesus, listening to his teachings. Now they begin to wonder, what is it that this man is saying? We've never heard anything like this. How can we eat his flesh? How can we drink his blood? Jesus asked them the question, does this offend you? Well, naturally, to people who were of the old law and lived under the old law, they knew they couldn't eat someone or drink blood of someone. That would be wrong. That would be a sin. It'd be abomination. They can't do that. Matter of fact, they were even to sustain from the blood of animals. And, of course, there were only certain animals that they could eat. So this is foreign to them. They're not getting the message. They're not understanding that Jesus is speaking spiritually to them. They're looking on the physical side of life. So he asked them, does this offend you? What if you were to see the Son of Man go back up to heaven where he was before? It's a question he asked. What would you think of that then? What would you think if I were to just leave and go right back up there to heaven? Well, we know that he did ascend to heaven after he was, of course, crucified and went out to the Mount of Olives, showed himself for 40 days among his friends, his apostles and people, and then he ascended up into heaven, taken up into the clouds. He points out to them in verse 63, the Spirit quickens, the flesh doesn't profit. So once again, what's he trying to do? Trying to get them to think on the spiritual side of life. The flesh doesn't profit. The words that I speak to you, what are they? They are spirit. You want this bread that you eat of, that you never hunger again, then you eat the Word of God. You remember over in the book of Revelations that John, at one point, this little book is given to him, and he's told to eat it. And he eats that book, and it was sweet in his mouth like honey, but became bitter in his stomach, because that is like the Word of God. It's sweet. It's something people want. But once they have it, then sometimes it's very difficult and hard to live and to live by it and to have it in our lives as it should be. So Jesus is telling them that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You want to know about this eternal life? Listen to these words. Some of you, though, don't believe that, verse 64, Jesus said, because he knew that there were those there who were going to betray him. Now, that would also mean, I don't think it's just specifically speaking of Judas Iscariot here, because he mentions that a little bit later. I think this mentions some of these very disciples that are with Jesus. They possibly go back to Jerusalem. They possibly start telling the high priests and others these things Jesus has been teaching, because they're hard for them to understand. They're not walking with him no more. They may be very well some of the people that turned on him, betrayed him to try to get him to be crucified. Verse 65, he says, I said unto you that you can't come unto me, he's telling the people, except it was given to you of my Father. What did the Father give him? The Word. So Jesus tells him the Word. Now you want to come to the Father? You got to come by me. I'm that Word. And this is the message. This is the Word I'm giving you. So that's how he's telling them the only way they're going to get to the Father. The Father calls you by this message. If you believe in this message, you believe that I am the Son of God and I came to die for the sins of the world, you can come unto me and you can have the Father, and in return you can have eternal life. Now that's basically what he's telling them in a nutshell. Verse 66, many of them walked with him no more after this. They found it very difficult to understand. They couldn't look onto the spiritual side, and so they didn't walk with him no more. In verse 67, and it's kind of strange that they wouldn't ask Jesus to explain it. There were many times, such as when Jesus talked about the parable of the sower, and Jesus talked about the parable where the sower sowed the tares, and they would ask Jesus, his apostles would, well, what does this mean? Who are these people you're talking about? And it's strange that these people wouldn't have said, well, Master, explain this to us in a way we can better understand, rather than just say, oh, this is just too hard for me, I'm going to walk away. You know how many people, and you've probably come across people in your life too, that you've talked to, that said, I can't understand the Bible. I just can't understand it. And because it's hard for them, and they themselves are the ones making it difficult, then they just choose not to have it. They don't think God would give them something hard to understand. And that's just too hard. Maybe they think it's antiquated. You see, time and time again where people are translating the Bible and trying to put it into words that they think that people can understand. And there's people out there buying the different translations because they look at the old King James and they're like, I just can't understand that. I just think they make it too difficult on themselves. I think they just don't take it for what the Bible says. But in any case, I find it strange that they didn't simply at least ask Jesus if he could clarify or could explain it better to them so that maybe they could understand. But I also think that this was a way that Jesus weeded them out. He gave them something hard. He knew it would be difficult for them. He didn't just do this. He knew this would be something difficult for them. And these people that have been following him for whatever reasons they had, they just now got thinned out. He doesn't have as many disciples and people following him now because he's told them something that they just found hard to understand and they walked away. So verse 67 said, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now many of his disciples, not all of them, the Bible says many of them, turned and walked away. Now Jesus looks at his core group, these apostles. Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now even though Peter may not have fully understood what Jesus had to say, even though he may not have fully grasped it, he had been with Jesus enough, he had seen enough, he had heard enough to know that Jesus is the Son of God. And he says here to him, he says, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. So Peter's looking beyond this life. He's looking beyond this flesh and blood. He's not looking for gain and things here, although there were times Peter did want a kingdom. And he perhaps thought Jesus was going to give him that kingdom. But Peter knew enough at this point to know that life goes on beyond death. And that there is an everlasting life. And so that's why he says to Jesus, where else could we go? Nobody else has these words but you. And he also continues to say, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So here Peter proclaims on this point that we, talking about the other apostles. Now he was usually a spokesperson for the group. Many times he would be outspoken. He was one that I think many of them would go to and say, Peter, ask the Lord this, because they were too embarrassed or shy to do it. Peter would do it. Peter was outspoken. He said what came to his mind on many occasions. Sometimes it got him in trouble. But here as he declares, we believe and we're sure, he says, that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So, since we believe and are sure that's who you are, where else can we go? You have these words of eternal life. And we want to hear what those are. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, Jesus already pointed out that some of the disciples that was with him would betray him. But now he says there's one in this core group that's also going to betray him. They don't know who it is. Maybe even at this point Judas doesn't realize that it's him. But Judas is going to betray Jesus, and we know that. I imagine this caused all of them to look at themselves, because we know when you get to this where Jesus partakes of the Passover and he institutes the communion, he tells them that one of you is going to betray me. And they all begin to ask, is it I? Who is it? They don't realize who it is. They don't know who it is. And at this point, like we said, it's possible even Judas doesn't know that he's the one yet, but Jesus knows it. Just like some of the disciples are going to betray me, there's one of you in my core group, Jesus is telling them, that has a devil in you, and you're going to betray me. I hope we've been able to explain this chapter thoroughly. I know that there's a lot of times I've had questions from people, and I know I've had questions myself, that it is a hard saying, but we have to look beyond and know that Jesus is not talking about his literal flesh and blood. We know that he's not talking about that. He's talking spiritually, and who is he? He's the Son of God. He brought what? The Word of God. That fills the soul of man, both hunger-wise and thirst-wise. There be one this evening, won't you come while we stand and sing?